session number 23447, Reel 1.
Mr. Douglas Waller, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Waller?
Yeah, born on the 18th of May, 1920, in London, North London, Tottenham.
And could you tell us a little about your family background and your childhood?
Well, my father was a schoolmaster. My mother obviously didn't work. Normal family, very happy childhood.
How many were there in the family?
Just myself, I was the only one.
So you were comfortably off?
Yeah, I suppose what the term in those days was middle class.
And which school did you go to?
Initially Downhills School, and then in those days at the age of 11 you took the exam and I went to the Chocolate County, which was a bit of a burden because on the honours board I had two cousins of my father and I wasn't up to their standard.
How did you do at school, academically?
Average, I would say, average.
Any particular favourite subject or a subject you hated?
No, I'm more mathematics. I used to do quite well and I was quite happy with them, but fell down on languages and science and things like that. But
what about sport?
Oh, yeah, sport was all right, yes. I got a house and school colours and...
What at? Football?
Rugby. So, rugby, cricket and athletics. And I also used to belong to a private gymnastic club and... got the usual things there, you know, the usual old medal or two and things.
So sport was quite important to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what about, were you in any of the boys' organisations, the Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts or anything like that?
I was in the Cubs as a youngster, but I didn't follow through into the Scouts.
And you weren't in anything else?
Well, no, I mean, I formed my own football club, started one up with people I knew and went into it was a Tottenham District League and we went into that and actually did quite well. So although I was really a rugby man, it was I couldn't form a rugby club because there were no pitches. So.
And what about when you left school? You left school at 14, did you?
No, 16.
Sorry. And had you got your matric?
General schools, yeah.
And what was the plan? What were you going to do?
I really hadn't got any particular plan. My father, on summing up my academic standards, suggested the police college at Hendon, and I was sort of yes, no, and eventually I went. Applied through what they had called the Headmaster's Employment Agency and got a job in the city.
What as?
Clerk initially, general clerk with a firm that they were either the head office or the London office for various mining companies and from Australia, South Africa, Canada, things like that, with one or two industrial firms like.
So you'd start that in about 1936?
That's right, yeah.
And did you like the work? What type of stuff did it involve? Was it just...
Yeah, well, as I say, in those days, you were sort of on a general clerk's basis, learning a bit of everything, you know, the share transfer department, accounts department, and so on. And then the idea was when you got to 21, you were then put into, you know, they decided which department was more to your... suitability, and they put you in that.
And so you were still on the generals?
General side, yeah.
When the war started?
When the war started, yeah.
Did you enjoy the work, or was it a bit...
Oh, yeah, quite happy with it, you know. And
Now, Were you aware of what was going on in the world? You see what I mean? Because you were pretty young. I mean, were you aware of what was going on in, with Hitler in the 30s, with Germany, or did you...
To a limited degree, you know, I didn't sort of worry myself about it particularly, you know. At that age, I was more interested in meeting up with the lads and going along for a pint and a game of snooker.
You didn't join the Territorials or anything like that?
No.
What about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of that? How did you react? You know, how did you hear about it? Did you hear the radio?
Yeah, well, I heard. I was aware of it before because I'd gone on holiday with two friends to Switzerland, and we were in Switzerland, and when we got to, I know it was Bern or one of the stations, which was near Germany. Quite amazed to see German officers in uniform round the platform travelling, you know, it was something I hadn't come across. And whilst we were there, there were two chaps with our party who were in the Territorials, and they kept getting telegrams saying report back immediately. But eventually we were told that all English nationals had to go back, leave the country. So this would have been in the August. So, you know, because we booked through a company and gone as a party. And we were all virtually told to come home, and the group came home. And I knew a young lady at the time, and when we got back, she said, oh, why don't you come down to us? And they had a riverside house down at Raisbury. And we went down there, and rumours of war, of course, was very strong. And I, chap down the road, said, can you give me a hand? I want to take a boat, a bed up to up the river. So he got this bed and on the punt. He was on this punt. He was an ex-Navy man. And we're punting along, and that's when the siren went off just after the beginning of war. We were stuck on the Thames in the pump, punting a bed up the river. So that was my introduction to the outbreak of war.
And how did that affect your life, would you say?
Well, not too much initially, and in any case I had other worries because my father was taken ill, went into hospital with TB, and he died, I forget the exact date, about the 5th of May, before my 20th birthday. Was on the 18th, and he died about 2 weeks before my 20th birthday. And I know he was greatly concerned because he was had been in the First World War and twice wounded, second time badly, which caused his discharge. And I think he was worried, having been through the First World War, you know, what was going to happen. And so it was just my mother and I then, you see.
So and you just carried on at work?
Oh, yes.
From September 39 through to May when your father died, 1940.
Yeah. Except when you say carried on, what happened, the firm I was with decided they, in advance, with war threatening, they were going to move out of the city. And we moved down, they bought two shops, adjoining shops, which they were going to turn into the offices, and a big house in its own grounds for the staff to stay in. And this was at Rickmansworth down in Hertfordshire. So until they got things sorted out, they couldn't cope with all the staff. So what they did was half of them worked for 1 week and the other half worked the next week. But the undertaking was that you got full pay as long as you joined some national service thing. And as I'd been in the St John's Ambulance Brigade as a cadet, I went into the ARP rescue squad. So I used to do a work with the ARP, a week with the ARP, and a week at work. And this carried on.
Now, where was the ARP? Where was it based?
That was also in Tottenham. Place down Woodlands Road, Woodlands Avenue, and And it was these rescue teams, you know.
And what was your job for the team? You know,
well, it's if there was a bombing, you know, and a house came down, the idea was that you had to go and rescue people and apply first aid.
And what do you remember? I mean, what incidents do you remember from that time? You know,
well, there really weren't any while I was there because the bombing hadn't started. I mean, we're talking
pre-September.
Yeah.
What sort of training did you get with it?
Well, really, it was a revision of my St John's Ambulance thing, you know, because you were trained in that. You used to do football matches at cinema and bank holiday on Hampstead Heath, all that type of thing. You were doing revision work because you were really sitting round and. Except when you were on guard, when they gave you a pick handle and you went onto the gate to keep the public out.
So it was just waiting at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
And how long did that last? What happened next?
Well, this was, that would have been in, you know, say, it started about September.
The bombing?
No, the beginning of, before, the September when war broke out.
39,
yeah. And, the same. My father died on, I forget exactly, about the 5th of May. And in those days, the call-up was 20 to, whatever it was, 24. And my birthday was on the 18th. So, of course, I got me thing. I had to go and register. Unbeknown to me, my mother had gone along and said, well, father had just died. I was the only son, the only support in the family. And then she came home and said, oh, by the way, you've got 6 months exemption. And I said, oh, well, I'm registered now. I won't bother. I'll just go ahead, you see. I suppose I must have taken the right choice because at the end of it, I was still standing, whereas I could have turned left, turned right.
So you were called up in May?
No, August.
August?
Yeah, called up in the August. Registered in the May, called up in the August.
And what happened when you were called up? Where were you sent to?
I was sent to Winchester. Got the thing. Attended Rifle Brigade Training Depot. I mean, I knew nothing about regiments.
Did it have a number or at the time? Infantry Training Centre, or was it? Had that not started?
No, it was. I could check on that. I haven't got it written on. I've got my call up thing.
And the barracks name, was it just Winchester Barracks?
Just Winchester Barracks, yes. And, you know, you went up to Waterloo and there were another lot of puzzled, forlorn people getting on the train and you turned up at Winchester.
And how did they actually receive you, you know, the reception? Because you went in as a civilian almost. Went
oh,
in.
Yeah, completely
bewildered. How did they sort of take you in and kick you out and sort you out?
Yeah, well, I mean, completely bewildered, but, I mean, they weren't unkind, but they were efficient and took you in and you got kitted out. And
what kit did they give you?
Oh, usual battle dress, blankets, webbing, so forth, mesh tin, razor comb and lather brush, virtually everything except a rifle initially. And then you put your civilian clothes in the case that you took with you and they got it shipped home for you. And at that time you did 8 weeks at Winchester.
Now, what were the barracks like? What was your room, your accommodation, yeah, barrack room like?
The old type, you know, built in the, what, Crimea War or something, you know. It was the old barrack.
How was it laid out?
Oh, there were two. There was what they called the top square and the bottom square. So, in other words, it was a square barrack. You know, the parade ground was in the middle with the barrack rooms going around the side. On one side, of course, was the administrative offices where the pay corps was and so forth and nappy there, but I say there was the top square and the bottom square. We were on the bottom square And we used to go up onto the top square every Saturday morning for adjutant's parade.
Yeah. What was your room like? Can you describe it a bit? You know, I mean, how was it laid out, your room?
Oh,
I mean, I know it's a barrack room, but
yeah, it's a long barrack room. I can't remember exactly what, about 30 people in it, with these iron beds that used to slide down at half thing, with three biscuits and a locker above. And you were given a little card with the regimental badge on. You wrote your name on it, stuck it on the locker.
And was there any heating?
There was a centre. You had a round-bellied stove in the centre, you know.
And was the corporal in with you, training corporal, at the end of the
room? Yeah, at the end of the room, yeah. He had a separate room at the end.
And what about, almost to start with, barrack room cleaning? Do you remember that? Was that a big thing?
Yeah, so when you had the old bumper, it was about...
How did you use it? Because people don't know about bumpers now.
Bumper, yeah, I mean, you on the long handle, and you put the polish down and went over the... polished the wooden floorboards, which was an endless, impossible task. You could never polish them. But, you had the usual... You had this very heavy... square thing on a pole, and you put the polish on and you bump, that's what it's called, a bumper, you bumped it up and down there, and then of course you had to dust the coal and paint it black and paint the inside of the coal white.
Now, did you really? I mean,
it's quite true, you know, you had a metal container, 3 foot by 2 foot, which you kept your coal in, but for inspection. For the weekly inspection, you took all the coal out and whitened the inside, and then dusted the coal, and then put it back in.
And were you expected to keep the stove polished, were you?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, in other words, if you went to the napper, you could got a mug of coffee, you stand it on, because it used to put a ring mark on it, so you had to clean those off, but.
What about the inspection and laying out your kit? I know this, you know, that while we're doing this bit.
Yeah, there was a standardised laying out. You used to put the bed back and put the three biscuits on the top, the square ones, which were your mattress, right? And then you had a pattern, you know, you were instructed by the corporal which way they had to be laid out, you know. Your boots with the soles up, the studs polished, and the boots polished, everything else, and you raise the comb and lather the brush and all that sort of thing, knife, fork, spoon, and everything else, and there's always a standard reply, where's so-and-so? You were issued with three of everything, so the standard was one on inspection and one in the wash, so you always...
And how strict were they about things like standards of polishing your boots and things?
They were fairly strict, but the first, I'd say, at Winchester, they were still breaking you in for being civilian, so...
Well, let's look at a typical day's routine, and we'll pick up all the training. What time would your day start?
7 o'clock.
And what would happen then?
Well, it'd be reveille. I can't remember whether... Reveille was at 6, and then you went to your ablutions, got washed and shaved. 7 o'clock, you went across to the cookhouse, got your breakfast.
Now, what was the food like? That's something we're interested in. I mean, generally, the food. What did you think it was like? You'd been from a fairly middle-class background.
Yeah.
How did you take to army food?
I wasn't too shattered by it, you know. You got the usual thing, like porridge and bacon and things like that, and... It was quite acceptable, you know. I wasn't alarmed.
What about for lunch?
Usually, big curry or stew, or that was basically what you got. You know, sort of. Didn't get a cut off the joint or anything like that. It was all sort of all plonked in a big Dixie and.
When you're looking at food, the sort of. There's the quality of the ingredients, the quality of the cooking, and the quality of the presentation. How did it sort of? Was it good ingredients, well presented? And,
well, yeah, I had no complaints with it. You know, it's.
Did you get enough?
Oh yeah. B- But as you went on, the more physical exercise you did, by God, you were ready for it. You didn't sort of worry whether it was neatly served or anything. All you wanted to do was get hold of something to eat quick, you know.
Now, after your breakfast, then,
yeah.
What were the first... Would you do a PT session before you
started? Yeah, PT session.
Tell me about PT. I mean, you've done a fair bit of sport.
Yeah.
You've been a member of a gym.
Yeah.
How did the PT session strike you?
Well, I could cope with them quite well, you know. You obviously had an issue with shorts and a vest in the summer weather. You didn't wear a vest. And it was mainly set exercise, you know.
What kind of thing?
Leaping about, sort of, like that, opening your legs and stretching your arms forward. Deep breathing exercise, you know. Breathing through your nose and out through your mouth and all that type of thing. And then, of course, you would get running around the square and things like that. Later on, when after we moved to Tibworth, it would develop into where you went into a gym and you did...
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Did you think... I mean, did the opening sessions, the early sessions, did you think they made any difference to your physique, or do you think they were, you know, they were just keeping you in trim?
No, they were building you up. I mean, I noticed it, you know, that... because I wasn't used to getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
now, what about, so after PT, what would happen then?
You go back, get changed, and then come on parade for your first one. And it was laid out, you'd have marching, where they teach you to march properly and keep...
Well, that's drill, basically. Basic foot drill and rifle drill. I mean, when you... you know,
and then
how did you take to drill? What did you think of it? It was your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, well...
The way they got you over it is when you
did it by numbers, which you shouted out, you know, when you wanted about turn, it was about turn 1, 2, 3. So you all did it by numbers, because we knew nothing about it, and... It was amazing how quickly they, you know, you fell in. Possibly the threat of some session on fatigue might have helped, but...
You didn't find it difficult yourself?
No, not
too. Did any of the men find it?
I didn't notice it particularly, no. They all seemed to...
Did you find it boring?
I don't think so, no.
Did you know then why you had to do it?
Strange. No, I didn't at the time, and the comparison I can make there was the other one session we used to get was at least a two-hour session. We used to go in for a lecture, and they used to tell you the regimental history in the Peninsular War, and I used to sit there and think, well, there's a world war on, what the hell are we doing talking about Napoleon in the Peninsula?
And these were two-hour lectures?
Yeah.
Regular ones, or just...
Yeah, well, once a week, yeah. And it was only later on it dawned on me, now I know what you're talking about. They gave you this, and then you thought, you do not let the regiment down. It was all psychological. And you do not let your chums down. It didn't dawn on me at first, but later on, I began to sort of find out what it was about, you know. You became... fiercely proud of your regiment, you know, sort of. Don't talk to them, they're red coats, we're green coats.
And what about other sessions you might have? What about weapons training?
Yeah.
The rifle, start with the rifle.
Yeah.
It was a Lee Enfield.
Lee Enfield, yeah.
How did they go about teaching you to shoot, you know, and to handle your Lee Enfield?
Yeah, and... Well, the first thing, they used to give you a lecture on it, show you a Lee Enfield, and show you how to, when I say strip it down, basically, it was only taking the bolt out, you know, it wasn't like a Bren gun. I mean, you only had a bolt to take out, and how to clean it with a pull through, and
Well, let's do that first, and how did you clean the rifle?
Well, in the butt of the rifle was a little brass trapdoor, and you opened it up. And your pull through, which was a length cord with a brass weight on the end, it was a correct way of winding it up so it went into the little compartment. And so you opened that up, took it out, and then you were issued with a little bit of flannelette, which was 4x2, it was called, and you put that in the loop, and then you drop the weights down the barrel, pulled it, and the other end was this bit of 4x2 flannelette, and you pulled it out to clean the barrel out. And normally the sort of light oiling and then drying off was all that had to be done. Once you fired it, if you got a one that was a pitted or anything like that, then you had to boil it out and pour hot water down it to clean it out.
And how were they inspected?
Well, the corporal and the sergeant used to come round and check them afterwards. And one thing they were very strict on, of course, once you got issued with a rifle, was make sure there was no rounds in it. You know, you would talk to... Because initially you only issue with dummy rounds. So that, you know, if you left one up there and somebody pulled the trigger, it didn't... You were safe. But that was... They got you trained on that first of safety.
So that was rifle cleaning.
Yeah.
What about actual learning to shoot? You know, how did they go about it? Because it was quite a short course.
Yeah.
What about the, you know, the actual mechanics of aiming? Because they've got a special way of holding it and positioning and firing. Well, did they take you through all that?
Well, what you did initially was within the confines of the barrack on the square was they had one of the NCOs used to have a little... wire rod, and on top of it was a round disc with a hole in, and he used to lay down and look through this, and you then sighted onto that disc, and he could tell whether you were squeezing the trigger or pulling it and pull it to one side. So that's how they taught you to fire a rifle initially, and you know, whether you're doing it correctly. This was before they let you out on the range. You only did one session on the range at Winchester. I mean, you did more when we got to Tibworth, but...
How did you do on the range? I mean, because, you know, had they warned you?
Oh, they warned you, you know, hold it in tight against your shoulder, otherwise it would kick and... I think they tended to exaggerate a bit, but then I suppose they... You know, they had to.
And how did you do straight up? I mean, you know, for your first time on the range.
Well, reasonably well. You know, I can't remember what my score was or anything like that. But I passed all right. You
didn't have problems.
No. And the usual thing, you know, you were on the range firing at the targets on the butts, and they signalled up with you.
Had they got any semblance of rapid fire by that stage, or was it just...
No, that was just... While we were at Winchester, you basically fired about 10 rounds, and that was it. Because...
Well, did they make you lie down in the army position, you know, specified position, you know, or...
Yes. You lay... It was... We never fired standing up. It was always lying down position, and... How to spread your legs and your feet.
Did it feel natural? Because it looks quite stiff.
Yeah. No, at first, no. But it's surprising how quickly you got used to it. So it was... I suppose going back to the old days, you know, the Baker rifle, 3 rounds per minute, you know. But it was always... That was the thing. Rapid, quickly getting into a... rapid fire position, and that's why they used to give you the 10 dummy rounds, and you would click and then reload by pulling the bolt up and pulling it back, and had to get through the 10 rounds within a certain time.
And that's how you practice with the dummy rounds at
yeah.
your speed, but
yeah.
you wouldn't actually fire that way.
No. You just had the one session on the rifle range.